I invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew 6. We'd like to look at verse 33 and use that for our text verse this morning. Some ways the thoughts of the message tie in with the devotional we heard this morning, maybe a little different slant to it. I've been pondering this verse much the last couple weeks, and mainly because this was a verse that was a favorite of my father's, and that probably gave a little special attachment to the verse and made me look at it and analyze it as why was this one of his favorite verses. And many of you who have lost loved ones, if you could have a conversation with them, what do you think they would tell you? What do you think they would say? If they could just tell us, you know, one thing, maybe one thing from what they're experiencing, from what they know now, what do you think that would be? Now, I'm not sure, but I wonder if verse 33 might not be what they would say to us. I know we have the story that Jesus told about the rich man and Lazarus, and we won't go there, but I'm thinking if we could hear a word from the other side, might it be Matthew 6:33? This is a very important message in these words, and Jesus is giving a very clear guidance of how to make it to glory. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." I'd like to title the message this morning, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." You know, this is a song that we sing, this is a verse that we sing songs about. It's a verse that we hang, you know, we make models and we hang them on our wall of our homes. But my question this morning is, do we live this verse? The setting for this verse, these words are taken from the best sermon that was ever preached. If you want to find a condensed version for gospel living, read these chapters surrounding this verse. However, these verses and this verse is not telling us how to get saved. But they're telling us, if we're saved, we don't do these things to get into the kingdom, but we find here some things that we do if we are in the kingdom. Jesus already, before he goes into all these words, he has told us how to get into the kingdom. His first words, his first message was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Repent to enter the kingdom. Repent to be part of God's kingdom. Turn from your sins. Forsake your sins. And when we do that, it radically changes our lives, or at least it should radically change our lives. And the question is, are we living this radically changed life? You will find that your life is consumed with a smorgasbord of priorities and purposes. Many things in our life, many options, many decisions that we face. And we need to examine where we're at with all this, because we know life is temporal. Life is passing. Someday, too, we will face that door called death. So may God help us this morning to take a close look, an honest look at our heart. You know, you are really the only one that knows what's going on in the deepest corner of your heart. Of course, God does, but yet you are the only one. And so may God help us this morning to look into the deep corners of our heart. Let's read some surrounding verses here to give us more of a context for this verse. Let's start in verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for the raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And we're starting our consideration with verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. This is a verse that's so easy to get unbalanced. We like what we hear at the end. We get all excited about the idea of all things being added unto us, and we start to think about, sure, it'd be nice to have a nice house, nice clothes, a successful business, a well-organized, happy family, and of course, no stress, no pain, and a healthy life. All these things. But is that what it means by all things shall be added unto you if we seek first the kingdom of God? So if I become a Christian, if I diligently support the church, and if I do what God wants me to do, will he add all these things to my life? In my opinion, something in that picture just doesn't feel right. However, there's many people out there that are preaching that message. So let's dig a little deeper into this verse and possibly find out maybe more what Jesus had in mind as we consider this verse. What is the message of this verse? And I'd like to look at some of the key words in this verse. The first one we see is seek. We are responsible for what we seek after in this life, and LaVon helped us think about that in searching, seeking. Colossians 3:1 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. There is something about what we seek that shows where we are headed. And what we seek and how we seek will determine where we spend eternity. So this morning it's important when we think about, but seek. Luke 17:33 says, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Everyone is searching or seeking for something. And I know that's a general statement, but I believe, generally speaking, most people, I'll say even probably everyone, they're looking for something. They're seeking. We need to honestly evaluate, what do I want in my life? We need to be intentional about what we are seeking. So the second word is kingdom. What is this kingdom we are to be seeking? And this verse specifies that we are to seek the kingdom of God. So this would imply that there is another kingdom. So you probably hear in church, you'll hear kingdom of light, kingdom of darkness, kingdom of God, and possibly kingdom of Satan. However, as I started studying this, I realized that those are not biblical terms. The Bible talks much about the kingdom of God, but I could not find anywhere where it talked about kingdom of darkness. However, we know that it is implied, and I found it noteworthy because we know that God is a sovereign king, and God has given Satan his time and his space for now, but that's going off in a different direction. But I want it to be clear that in this it's implied that there is two kingdoms, or there is two different entities. Maybe we should say it that way. Matthew 12, Jesus is talking about a kingdom divided against itself and how it can't stand stand. And it says, if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? So we have Jesus referring to the fact that Satan has this realm that he is reigning. Although God is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so we rightly conclude that there are two different kingdoms, we'll call them, and the important question is, to which kingdom do we belong? To which kingdom? Where will we end up? That's really the question here that we are focusing in. So the next important word in this verse is righteousness. Now that may be somewhat of an archaic word that we don't use in our daily conversations. Talk about having righteousness. But we know it's a Bible word, and it's a very important word. I would like to say in simple words that it's right living. It's to do the right thing. It's to develop right habits. It's to desire the right thing. And it's to turn away from sin and evil and wrong and follow what's right. That's righteousness. You know, one of the dangers we face in our time, and again, this is a big subject that we don't have time to enlarge on, but we think we can create our own truth, and we're in a society, we're surrounded by people who think they can create what's truth. So you have what you think is right and wrong, and I'll have what I think is right and wrong, and it's okay. We can be okay with that. But the question is, or the reality is, there is only one truth. And this morning, that is found in the way of righteousness. So we need to be seeking, what is the right thing? What is truth in this? And that is what we are to be seeking. And I want to just clarify, we talked about the kingdom and we talked about righteousness. There is two things in this verse that we are to be seeking. And I find sometimes I just label it as one thing. We're seeking the kingdom of God. Now, I know they are bound together. You can't separate them. We are to seek the kingdom of God and we are to seek his righteousness. They're one unit. But what I find intriguing about this is I feel it covers a whole scope of our life. Whether you want to look at what you do, what you are, whether you want to look at how you feel, the way you think, I believe that it's wound up, it's combined in those words of seeking God's kingdom and seeking right living. And now we get to the last important phrase in this verse. And it talks about all these things. And this is where it gets interesting. What does Jesus mean when he says all these things? We know we're supposed to seek with all our heart. We know there's a kingdom of light. We know we're to do the right thing. Now, how does this relate to all these things? I have a feeling this past week, probably most of you spend more time making a living than you did reading your Bible. You probably came to church this morning in a vehicle. Is that vehicle kingdom of light or kingdom of darkness? Most of you probably have more than one pair of shoes. Is that really necessary? Does that mean it's kingdom of light? Does that mean it's seeking God's kingdom? What about if you have a savings account? Does that mean you're not seeking first the kingdom of God? We can face some maybe difficult questions. And how does God want us to relate to all these things? And are all these things, is that really what God is wanting us to seek? And is that what God will add to us? In other words, is God okay with you buying another pair of shoes when there's so many people going hungry? We will see if we can possibly give us some guidance. I would like to look at four considerations for seeking first God's kingdom. And four things for us to ponder, and hopefully will give us some guidance as we think about this. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and are you seeking? Am I really seeking first God's kingdom? Or am I more intrigued with the idea of all things? So the first consideration for us this morning is the test. There is a test to see whether we are seeking first God's kingdom. I'm sure you know that life is full of tests, and especially for you school children, you just had your achievement test, and you're getting into the time of year where you have many tests as you wind up your school time for this year. Tests are important, although maybe we don't see them as important, but tests can tell us where we're at, tell us what we know, and also help us evaluate where we're at with life. So what is the test? We need a test this morning to see if our heart, in our heart, whether we are seeking first the kingdom of God. And I see this test starting in verse 33 with the word, first word, it says, but. So but creates in our mind a contrast. There is a contrast here to something, and that contrast is in verse 31, 32, where it says, for after all these things, so we have this all these things here again, do the Gentiles seek. So what do the Gentiles seek? What are the all things that the Gentiles seek? Well, it tells us in verse 31, the Gentiles, they seek, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? You know, all their energy, the Gentiles, and I should clarify that. Who are the Gentiles? Well, the NIV actually has it labeled as pagans. Gentiles are those who do not know Jesus. Their passion, their energy, their outlook is controlled by their necessities and by their passions. Whatever makes them happy, this is their first and foremost concern. But there again we have the contrast. What about the follower of Jesus? What is his energy? What is his passion? What is his desire? Followers of Jesus, they're governed by seeking first the kingdom of God. They're governed by seeking the kingdom of God. So the question is what you want out of life the same as what your neighbor wants out of life? Assuming that your neighbor doesn't know Jesus. Do you head off for work for the same reason that your neighbor heads off for work? Does it matter to you if your car is the oldest car in the church parking lot? How long did it take you to decide what to wear this morning? What thoughts were in your mind when you were trying to decide what to wear this morning? You know, those things can help us analyze really what is going on in my heart. Who really am I seeking? Am I seeking what the Gentiles seek Well, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Or am I seeking first the kingdom of God? Are we willing to look into our heart and honestly think about, do I seek the same thing that the world around me is seeking? So that's the first question on this test. The second question on this test is verse 21, and it is somewhat similar. It says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where does your heart affection lie this morning? The things you do, the things you pursue, what we have, where we go. And even more than that, the attitudes and feelings that we hold in our heart because they're ours. How important are they to us? How much emphasis do we put on them? How dear are they to us? Where does your heart affection lie this morning? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So we have two questions here to test to see who are we? What are we seeking? Do we seek the same thing that the heathen seek? And what is really the most important thing in our heart? How much do material things matter to us? And are our feelings, our ideas, our opinions, are they more important to us than what other people think about something? Jesus is making it abundantly clear in verse 24 that his kingdom demands undivided allegiance. And how often are we tempted to think that we can be a Christian and we can enjoy the world? We can try to serve both. How many times have you neglected Christ because there is something else you want to pursue? Or what about some spiritual thoughts in your mind that you push back because there was some other desire you wanted to pursue? Are we failing the test? Are we acing the test? How are we making out with the test of whether or not we are seeking first the kingdom? All right, the second consideration for us this morning is what I've labeled as the obligation. There is an obligation on Jesus' followers to seek first his kingdom. Verse 33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And we might be tempted to ask, is it reasonable? Is it a reasonable demand for God to ask that we seek first his kingdom? Can Christ really expect this of us, that we seek first his kingdom? And I say this morning that the answer is yes, and it is an absolute yes. And the strongest argument I want to put out this morning about it, that this is something that God can require of us, listen to these verses. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Romans says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Isaiah says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. What was Jesus willing to do for us? What was God the Father willing to do for us? Why did Jesus come to earth? What is God's greatest priority for man? 1 Timothy says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Are we not impressed with the love that God had for us to send Jesus to suffer and die so that we can be free from sin? Yet we can hardly find time to read our Bible and pray because we have so much work to do. We think it's about our limit to come to church 2 hours out of a week. We think it's difficult to bear a cross, like we heard about Wednesday evening. So I ask again, is it unreasonable for God to ask that we seek His kingdom first? You know, God is demanding nothing from us that He has not shown toward us. God is asking for nothing more than He has given us the example to follow. If the very ruler and sustainer of the universe can devote that kind of time and love and attention to us, then surely the very least we owe Him in return is complete dedication to His cause. What would it be like if He neglected us the way we sometimes neglect Him? What if He put forth the same excuses toward us as we put toward Him? I believe God is saying, I've given you my best. Why won't you give me your best? So the third consideration for us as we think about seeking first the kingdom is what I have labeled as the means. How can we do this? How can we obey this command? Verse 22 says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Another version says, if the eye is clear. The first thing that we need to maintain the priority of the kingdom, to keep the kingdom first and to seek God's kingdom first, is a clear eye. And we heard Wednesday evening about vision. Do you struggle with blurry vision? Or do you have an eye that sees clearly? And think about pursuing the kingdom. Do you clearly see the love of your Savior? Do you clearly see the grace that brought Jesus into this world that He might live for you and die for you? If you have an eye on Jesus' gift and you see it fully and clearly, it will greatly help you in seeking first God's kingdom. But I fear this morning that sometimes kingdom living is like a pair of glasses. We put them on when we need them, and we take them off when we don't want them and they get in the way. Or even worse than that, we think of them as a nuisance. We think they make us look weird, and we wish we could get along without them, instead of seeing them for the blessing they are. Is that the way we look at Christian living, at kingdom living? We need to value it for what it is, and it will aid us. A clear vision for seeing what God has done for us and who He is. Our heart, our aims, our intentions, our desires, we need to seek God and see God in that. If we seek to please others, if we seek to please ourselves, and we're still trying to please God, we're going to end up with double vision. And I'm sure you know how difficult that is. So the other thing we need to do in the means, how do we do this, is we need to heed the admonition to seek. And we talked already some about that. But I find that here, as we look at the word seek, it simply says in verse 33, but seek. This is a present tense word. So it's continual activity. It means to aim for, to strive after. The Bible talks about a war that must be fought. It talks about a race that must be run. It talks about a victory that must be attained. What Jesus is calling for us here is diligence. That diligence be applied by His people in seeking His kingdom. Diligence in the place of prayer. Diligence in finding ways to serve Him. Diligence in time you spend reading your Bible. And diligence in your efforts to share God's word. Hebrews 6 says, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Those who inherit the promises were not slothful, but diligent in their pursuit. And so the question is, how diligent are we? Will we inherit the promise because of our diligence? The kingdom of God requires diligence. And that's what this word seek implies, that we are diligent in our pursuit of God's kingdom. So I end up this morning with one more consideration, and that is the blessing. And I'm just going to highlight these because they are all probably messages in themselves. But what is the blessing of seeking first the kingdom? The first one we find in verse 34, it talks about worry and stress-free living. This morning, do you want worry and stress-free living? The best thing that you can do is to seek ye first the kingdom of God. If our desire is the kingdom, it will remove from us the worry of, am I wearing the right shoes? What will people think of my shirt? Do I have enough money for retirement? What's going to happen to, and you can go over the list, whatever causes worry and stress in your heart. The best thing to do is to seek first God's kingdom, and it will help us to cope with those questions and those struggles. The second blessing I find is in verse 26 to verse 30, and that is our needs will be supplied. God will supply our needs. No, we may not have more than one pair of shoes. No, we may not impress our neighbors. No, we might not have a 5,000 square foot house. 1 Timothy 6:8 says, "And having food and raiment, let us be there with content." The best solution for having our material needs met is to follow God's principles for life. And I believe that that's wrapped up in this thing of seeking first the kingdom. God will supply our needs, maybe not our wants, maybe not our wishes, but our needs will be supplied. And the third blessing is eternal life. Best blessing of seeking first God's kingdom is that someday we can be, as Peter says, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." And really, isn't that what we want? And why we want to seek first the kingdom? And I realize this morning that I have not probably precisely and specifically answered the questions that are raised in the beginning about your car, your money, your time. How do we relate to all those things? How many shoes should you have? However, I'm convinced this morning that if your heart is completely consumed with seeking first God's kingdom, our idea of all things changes. Yes, we will still need money. Yes, we will still need a car. Yes, we still need a place to live. But that's no longer our first priority. And I believe as we seek God's kingdom first, that it will help us in knowing how to relate to all those things. And in that we find our answer, because obviously there's not one answer that will fit every situation. So here is our key again. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let's keep our eye on God and on his kingdom, and seek him with all of our heart, soul, and mind.